This week, we sat down with Tad Hanneborg with the DNN Event Center. We discussed their long history in North Platte, his vision for the future, and we hear about the amazing impact their involvement has on youth sports in our area. Also learn what Tad's go-to drink is. Is he a White Claw guy or a beer guy? Listen to the episode now to find out. Hi, I'm Danielle.
And I'm Ty.
Together, we are hosting the Nebraskaland Bank Podcast. We promise, this isn't some boring bank podcast.
That's right. We aim to entertain. Listen in every other Monday, and we'll tackle topics like finance, business, sports, community events, and maybe even a course or two of great food finds.
We're always community-minded.
Every voice.
Every topic.
Every time. So turn the volume up, settle in,
and let's talk Nebraskaland.
Danielle, we're here today for episode 9. We're going to be at episode 10 before you know it. We're going to have to do something big for episode 10, don't you think?
I think that's a great idea. Stay tuned. I think we're going to do a giveaway.
Well, what's new in the bank? Tell me, I've been busy doing commercial lending stuff the last couple of weeks. So what's new going on here at Nebraskaland?
I have a few shameless plugs that I want to cover today. If you're following along the podcast, you probably listened to our episode 8 with David Fudge and talked a lot about Nebraskaland Days and the concerts, which is exciting. If you listen to it, you know that we did a ticket giveaway and we awarded winners on Monday. So that's complete. But if you didn't catch it, it's still worth going back and listening to because it's a great episode. It talks a lot about kind of the history of Nebraskaland Days and what to expect this year with the pandemic. But my shameless plug is, I don't know, Ty, did you see our announcement video that we put together of the ticket winner?
No. You know, it was funny. I was watching it all week and watching to see how people answered the question because it was a really tough trivia question, but I never saw the conclusion.
Okay, so we posted it yesterday. Go back and watch it because my shameless plug is for my hair. I'm telling you, my hair, I threw up all of the tickets and then I caught one on the way down and we put it in slow motion and my hair has never looked so good.
I probably wouldn't have noticed. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Nothing to say about that. And
yeah,
that's okay.
Well, I'm going to have some feedback on episode 10 about your hair in the shameless plug.
It looks so good. Now you're going to have to go back and look and see. It's beautiful. Okay. my second shameless plug is Nebraskaland University. We just had our graduation ceremony this past week and we celebrated 30 students who completed the program. Ty, you're an instructor in that program. And I don't know if you've been updated, but we've awarded $61,500 in the 7 years that that program has been around. So congratulations to all those amazing students.
You know, I love Nebraskaland University because, yes, we provide scholarship funds and we have managers here at the bank doing instructions. Even our CEO, Mike Jacobson, does instruction about wealth building and some of the mentality and of life with a little more ease if you're smart with money, I think is great. But I think the kids give us more back than we give them. We learn about what's interesting to high school students. We're able to take a barometer on how they see financial issues and what's important to them. I think a lot of them then choose us as their bank in the future, and some of them even might come back to work for us. I think we have a couple Nebraskaland University graduates on our staff today. So as much as we're doing wonderful things for those students in terms of teaching about personal finance, I think we actually get the good end of the deal on the Nebraskaland University side.
I do too, for sure. Okay, my last shameless plug is Shred Day. Free Community Shred Day is coming up May 14th in North Platte. So we didn't have this event last year, so I'm anticipating a big event. And I'd encourage our listeners to come through, bring your shred, 11 to 1, Friday, May 14th. And we, a couple years ago, started a partnership with the Lincoln County Law Enforcement Memorial guys. It's been a game changer for this event. It's so amazing to have those guys come on site and help direct traffic, which can get a little crazy at this event. And so we're matching donations. We're accepting free will donations and matching donations up to $500 to help those guys out. So,
yeah, that's a great event. We're going to shred a ton of documents this year for people. I'm sure people will be lined up.
Yeah, definitely. It gets a little crazy. So I'm looking forward to that here in a couple of weeks.
Well, today I'm excited. We have another local guest. We're not on Zoom today, which Zoom's fun, but I love having the guests here in the studio today. And we have Tad Hanneborg with us today. For those who don't know Tad, he's involved with the DNN Event Center. He's involved with Coors Distributing here in North Platte. He's also involved with North Platte Kubota, and he and his family have worked a lot in real estate development over the years. So he's got a wide variety of things we can talk about today. But Tad, we want to welcome you to the Nebraska Land podcast studio.
Thank you. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, to get things started a little bit, we want to talk about the DNN Event Center. Danielle and I were visiting that. So much goes on in the DNN Event Center with our youth, with our community, with our agricultural community. That, and it's been here for so long now that I think sometimes people kind of take it for granted a little bit. So would you talk to us about how the DNN was started? And maybe then we can talk a little bit about the things that go on there today.
Yeah, sure. So like back in the early 90s to mid 90s, you know, my father had started basketball leagues. And when he first moved here from, our family moved here from Pueblo, Colorado, my brother Mark and Scott were both born in Pueblo. My dad was an engineer in Pueblo at CF&I Steel, and moved the family out here with a couple other families in 1976 and to start the Coors distributorship. But one of his first, you know, when he first moved to the community, he noticed that there was a lot of youth sports that needed attention as far as like development and leagues that needed formed of where he grew up in Denver. You know, that was kind of, they had that kind of stuff growing up when you start basketball leagues, and the basketball need out here was huge. And there was years that we had in upwards of 95 just local teams that were involved in our leagues from third through sixth grade. And it got such to be such a huge sport. And then my dad had decided, you know, in the 90s, you know, he needed another facility so he could host all of the girls leagues and the boys leagues at the same time. And at that time, the 84 Lumber Building was empty, and it sat right across south of the Kmart building. And somewhere in those transactions, my dad had wound up with the 84 Lumber Building and taken a lot of that 84 Lumber Building and closed it. And I think, if I remember right, that was about a 20,000 square foot facility, and went inside and closed it, insulated, put basketball hoops in it, put basketball flooring in it. Upstairs had some separate, you know, gymnastics. I think Nettie Jean's gymnastics was up there to begin with. And the wrestling clubs, you know, they all utilized it at the beginning. And that was just kind of the need for extra space is why my dad's had that vision of opening the DNN, you know, and hosting many events. You know, being in the beer business, you're kind of involved with a lot of events, whether it's a rodeo or a concert or anything that has to do with events. Entertainment style was kind of in our wheelhouse already.
Well, a quick to pause you for just a second. You know, I played Coors Basketball League all through my elementary school days up until you got to junior high. And one thing, a memory I still have, is Larry, your dad, was always there reffing games. And I remember him always marking the fouls on our hands with the permanent marker. And then if you got a little heavy on fouls, maybe you try to lick one off. He'd probably catch you, and then you weren't going to get away with it. But he was a little more involved than just organizing it, wasn't he? And I know you and your family have been too.
Yeah, he was refereeing every game. And we were, one way or another, all of our employees were running the scoreboards and keeping track of those fouls. You're right. Still to the day, we mark the hands with a magic marker during the games because that's the best way to keep track of them. Otherwise, you got to have three other people to keep track of all those things in the games, you know, but it's just easier. And the kids kind of get more involved when they see it on their hands, I think, you know, and notice instead of whether it's going to the table, they might not realize that's what five fouls is until you get five on your hand and you have to go sit out for a while. So we still do that. And I love to referee as well. Not as much as my father did, but he loved to be in every football game and every basketball game until he was 63 years old, still out there refereeing. But yeah, that's our programs are still pretty consistent with the ways that he started them, you know, especially the basketball. You know, we did get away from it for a few years. And then once we did kind of the, you know, remodel on the current event center with basketball flooring, you know, that was one of our bigger priorities is putting new basketball courts in there because the basketball leagues were so great for so many years. And then we brought them back. And now we currently, I think we have roughly 60 teams in our basketball league.
Wow. Okay, so you guys were at the 84 Lumber Building, and then did you make a move from there to your current location, or
so
how did that work?
In 96, I believe, I don't know, you know, it'd be great to go back and look. I might have to go to the library one of these days and kind of see exactly how it was put in the papers the next day. I think they said it was struck by lightning, and overnight, and I remember I was a sophomore in high school, that the DNN's on fire, and I remember everybody out of our house scattering that the DNN was on fire, and, you know, unfortunately, there was an accident involved there, and it wasn't lightning that's ended up striking it, but another unfortunate circumstance, and that building you know, was no longer available. And within 4 to 6 months after I think that current facility had went away, my dad was already en route of building the current event center, right? And so that's kind of where we got, that's how we transitioned into that, you know, and obviously quite a bit bigger than the, you know, it was double the size of the old event center, which was obviously also in a lumber building that we had transformed into a basketball arena. But yeah, you know, to get to the bigger facility has definitely helped.
Well, Ted, you have, as you mentioned, a big involvement in youth sports, and you were actually my son's football coach for his elementary years. And what I like about the Coors League football program is the kids, at least for Ben, it was more than just going out and playing football. It was like the experience and building relationships with the coaches and the other teammates. And it was really special at an Adams middle school game. Now that he's kind of aged out, all of those guys got together for a photograph after one of the games. And it's just so heartwarming to like see that he just loved that team so much. And I think that that's kind of unique, because in some of the other sports leagues that we've played, which there's benefit to both, it's like the kids rotated, they were in and out, there's different kids, different parents, different coaches every year. And so I know that that was just probably something that will definitely, Ben will carry with him forever. So good job doing that. And thanks for that commitment to our youth.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most important part of sports is the how you get involved with the kids' lives. You know, that's one thing that, you know, even Ben, I remember every kid on that team, what position they played. You carry that with you for so many years, you know, whether it's the picture we took, I think that was down in McCook. I think there was probably 16 kids in that picture three or four of those kids were from McCook that we played against. And yeah, I think that the relationships you create through sports, whether it be football, we do a lot of wrestling, basketball, and those are relationships that, whether it's a coach-kid relationship, a kid-kid relationship, a kid that's going to go into to elementary school or middle school or into high school with these kids, being able to kind of plant that seed with those kids at a younger age, to be able to know that, you know, hey, these kids will, they'll support you through the whole system. So that's the warmest part of the sport, is being able to, you know, create those relationships.
Yeah. I don't know if we got lucky, but one of my favorite memories is maybe like it was probably the second or third year before he aged out, the championship game. And it was so much fun. I've said this before, I'm not a huge football fan. And even then I was less of a football fan. Not that I don't like it, I just had never really gotten excited. I was like standing up in the stands cheering, biting my nails. Like it was probably the funnest game I've ever watched or attended in my life. And here we are, and it's like probably third or fourth grade kids.
Yeah, it was probably like 4 years ago. No, exactly. It was at the high school field. Yep. We played, I believe my brother Mark was coaching the other team.
I was at that game.
Were you?
And I remember the game you're talking. It was a phenomenal football game.
Crazy game, right? Like we had a 2-touchdown lead. And then I think, if I remember right, he's going to be either the Broman kid took control. And I think my nephew Brady scored the winning touchdown in overtime. And they kind of put the punishment on us that second half. I'll never let that one down from Mark. He still holds that one over me all the time, we'd never beat them in the championship. But it was, there's so many good memories. I remember the crowd that night. I think there was a couple thousand people there, if I remember right. I know that the one year they sold all the concession stand out. So I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I normally go to that championship game because it's just fantastic. And I think the stands were at least half full that night in the high school stadium. And it was a lot of fun.
I would say with all of the sports that we're involved with, more, you know, the football program over the years, is it's the toughest sport that we obviously, and most physical. Football anymore is a different, you know, you don't see as many kids going out for the sport because of the, you know, there is a lot of injury risk, and it's a tougher sport than most sports, you know. But I would say enrollment in football is just, you know, the youth age of it is down in our areas, but it's good. We've always had a good following in this area, whether it's Hershey's involvement, Ogallala always brought a good team every other year. And yeah, that football side of it is fun. And the memories, like you had said, 4 years ago, you know, at least 4 years ago, probably in that game. And I remember we were holding a good lead going in the second half, and they came out and beat up on us the second half.
Yeah, that was a good one. Okay. And so on the DNN, so back in the mid to late 90s, you guys built the current facility, right? And it's been fairly recently renovated too, hasn't it, Ted?
Yeah, I think in 2014, 15, we started gearing towards what our plans were. You know, I was kind of in control of that building for many years, you know, and I kind of seen the needs, right? I would hear from the community, hey, these are the needs we need, or it's a dusky and doomy and a dirty building. And I was kind of like, yeah, you know, it kind of is. And it's kind of a pain, right? And I, you know, the first needs, I was like, okay, let's make this place nicer, right? The first things we need, you know, are new basketball flooring and replacing the turf and getting all the dirt, exposed dirt around the area and cleaning it up and, you know, getting a sound system and getting the things that honestly, at every event that we have, we would hear that, hey, you need this, you need that. Kind of going into 14, 15 in that area, we started getting the plan together. And those are the things we're going to do to make sure that this place isn't. We've did a complete 360 in 6 years probably on that facility. So very helpful.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in there today. What are the biggest events in a normal year that go on there? What are the four or five biggest things that go on there?
Obviously, Farm and Ranch Expo is big ones. You know, we do a lot of wrestling tournaments, right? We had a national wrestling tournament a month and a half ago, and we had big crowds for that, you know, and that same group came back and they've rescheduled one for September and December. Obviously, you know, the St. Patty's Day MCF is always a huge event.
The St. Patty's beatdown.
And, you know, last year, I think we had to do the St. Patty's beatdown in October because we missed. So, we did St. Patty's beatdown in October, and then we came back and did another St. Patty's beatdown a month ago.
Okay, now I know that most of what you guys do comes from your philanthropic heart, but you've got to sell a little bit of beer at the MCF St. Patty's beatdown, right?
Yeah, it's one of the bigger events that we handle throughout the year. I think as far as in a 5-hour stretch, they do very well on the beer side or on the beer sales, I believe.
What's new in the beer business? Not to get off track, but what's new and exciting in the beer distribution business?
I think, you know, the White Claw is still kind of the big trend is still White Claw. And we have difficulties, you know, in the supply, as in many industries, or we're short, like Coors Light, if you haven't noticed in the market, there's hardly any out there, you know. So my brother Scott's battling that, trying to make sure that we have product through the summer. I would say that's probably our biggest concern right now is getting into the midst of the summer is making sure that we have enough product, you know, avail from the breweries. And I know that Scott's working very hard behind the scenes, trying to make sure that we have enough product maybe shoved away to get us through Nebraska land days. But the beer brands, there's quite a few of them out there that are kind of steadily rolling. You know, the craft's still pretty decent. You know, there's a big following behind that. New Belgian, right? Whatever they're doing out there in Fort Collins is pretty much, you know, kind of sets the tone on a lot of that craft market. You see a lot of them going to what they're doing. And the local crafts, you know, we handle Peg Leg out here as well. And they're actually doing a decent amount of beer. We're getting that quite a few draft handles with it. So
what's your go-to?
Dos Equis Lager.
I figured you as a White Claw guy. Yeah,
I don't mind the White Claw. I would do the Truly probably if I was going to go the seltzer route. I do like the Vizzy. The Vizzy's pretty good too.
I haven't had that one.
Yeah, you need to try that out. That's good tasting. Out of all of them, I think the Vizzy tastes the best. But when we kind of did some transformations back in 2012 and 13, I fell in love with Dos Equis Lager. And that's a big brand out here that you see from 8 years ago to now. You see it at, you know, on draft at quite a few places. And so my go-to is Dos Equis Lager, but I don't know what your go-to.
Well, I'm afraid to say it because I'm not sure if
it doesn't bother me anymore that I have to deal with my family members drink the wrong brands.
I like Stella.
Stella's a good beer. That's a good beer. It isn't in our wheelhouse, but okay. It's a good brand. What's yours, Ty?
Well, yeah, I like, you know, I like a lot of the crafts and I'm all over the board, but Heineken is still one of my favorites. And now that's in your repertoire.
Yeah, so Heineken would be Dos Equis, right? So Heineken actually is Dos Equis. Heineken's a big brand for us.
Well, if you like Stella, you should try Heineken because they're kind of in the same
realm.
I'll
have to get.
but I like a lot of the crafts. You know, I like the variety. And I know what's kind of a new craft brand that's popular that you think puts out a good beer that you guys distribute?
You know, anything that's, like I said before, you know, the Scratchtown guys up here in Ord, they do a good job, all right? They've got some good beers that are kind of this Peg Leg, you know, I notice a lot of it's on draft, but everything that we see out of there is pretty decently tasting. All the New Belgian stuff is really kind of a leader in a lot of that category as far as taste and volume. And they've kind of switched from the bottles to the cans. And, you know, my brother Scott's the guru behind a lot of those beers. Like he does a lot of the, you know, initial, yeah, let's try it and bring it in and see what it does. So yeah, there's such a wide variety anymore. You know, that Mike's Hard Seltzer, they have a Mike's Hard Seltzer out. That's kind of Mike's also is White Claw too. So Mark Anthony Brands is Mike's Lemonade. They also own White Claw, but they've came out with a hard seltzer and that Mike's, it's a variety. And I think that's going to be a big mover.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, and maybe back to the DNN a little bit, as you think about the high school teams are using the DNN Center some today and the winners and whatnot. And maybe if you could talk to us about how the community, the high school sports teams use it, and then what's your vision for the future with the DNN?
Yeah. So right now we're utilized, you know, pretty much every day, whether just depends on, you know, the weather, obviously, you know, so like, yeah, obviously the soccer team's got to come in and use the turf and it's perfect for them to get a good workout in when maybe their competitor down the road's not able to do that. Or, you know, maybe the Lincoln and Omaha teams might be the only ones that really have a ability to go inside. Right. So we do get, you know, we have a good relationship with the high school and kind of doing, you know, interlocal to where we can kind of utilize facilities, you know, and they're in there, the tennis team's in there, Dale Hall's in there all the time with the tennis team. And the soccer teams are in there when weather doesn't allow them to go outside. Football team, I think, was in there a couple times in the fall, maybe when we had some snow on the ground. You know, as far as usage, we're getting pretty well full, right? Like, I don't know how much, you know, we probably, right now, we're 35 teams are probably on our schedule for having a time slot as far as just using the turf, right? And I would say we probably have another 15 to 20 teams just on the basketball courts on a regular schedule, plus pickleball. This pickleball out here has created a huge, huge following. And the pickleball group's in there 6 days a week now.
Really?
Yeah, that's sometimes twice a day.
I'm learning to play pickleball within the next month. I'm trying it. I've been watching this. We see some stuff at the city council. And I've heard it's just a ton of fun.
I have to admit. What is it? Is there a net? Is it like the badminton?
It's kind of a combination. I'll call it a combination between tennis and ping pong. So you're on a smaller court. You can play it with, I think, four players is normal. It's a little smaller net. And then you're using basically like a hard paddle with kind of a wiffle ball.
Okay.
And I think all ages can play it. And you don't have to be like a hardcore athlete to play it and have fun and be successful. And it's not quite as injury prone as some of the other sports. Okay. I could play, you know, now, you know, when you get in your mid 40s, you got to kind of cut down some of the injury prone things a little bit. And so, no, I'm learning how to play it.
Yeah, it's great. I think that there's, you know, I haven't played it either, but I watch a lot of it. You know, I think we have 8 courts set up now. And originally there was maybe like 2 to begin with. And then I had to chase like a bunch of adults that are like 70 years old out of there because they were like the kids that were in there that were moving basketball hoops and then kind of sneaking through the side doors to play play pickleball. And so, no, anyways, they have a well-ran league. Barb does a good job with it. You know, as we start expanding into that, you know, I mean, I need more room, right? I think the plan is to go north and put a bigger style venue on the backside of the event center, you know, something with similar courts that we have down now that could or be capable of holding 8 basketball or 6 basketball courts, you know, something that's in the vision that's needed. We've already kind of got the ball rolling a little bit as far as the design's done. Cool. And now the vision's always been there. It's just now time to start pushing it, you know, and getting it done. We need it. You know, sports is, we're driven. A lot of our area is driven by sports. And obviously this gets us one step closer to being able to host anything that Omaha and Lincoln can.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, Danielle and I were talking in preparation for this podcast a little bit about the bank and the sponsorships that we get involved with. And so we'll shift gears to that for a second. But when our bank started, which is not, we're not quite to our 25th anniversary, but it's coming really soon, isn't it?
It is a couple of years.
Yeah, we started in 1998. And one of the objectives of our original board of directors and founders was that the bank would take a certain amount of earnings once we were profitable and invest those into philanthropy in the community. A lot of the same pattern that your family's done over the years. And we really focus on youth and the arts. Those are the two primary areas. Now, we also focus in other areas of charity, but those have always been to Overline. And so youth sports just falls right into that. Danielle, do you want to talk for a minute about how does the bank choose what we get involved in, what level we get involved, you know, volunteering versus donations of money? Do you want to talk a little bit about how we go about that?
Definitely. We really have two parts to our contributions program. And the first is sponsorship donations. And the second part is grill events. And so when we receive a request, our donations committee gets together and kind of looks at all of those things and kind of determines what the best fit might be. And sometimes it's both. But so really, we're involved with monetary donations, grill events, volunteerism. And there are other ways that we can support organizations too, whether it's like a match or our message center or even just being a platform to kind of help spread the words and create more awareness for events. But we truly do support those organizations that share a passion for community involvement and growth and look at all of those things. Who's impacted? What's the number of people impacted? Is it a fundraiser? Can we generate more funds with grill participation? So there's just a lot of thought that and conversation that goes into each donation that we approve. And of course, we do have to decline some because we can't do it all as much as we'd like to. And so that's kind of where that criteria comes into play, where if it's for the arts, if it's for youth sports, it's, you know, we kind of have created those guidelines to help us make decisions.
Yeah. And I know a couple things, and we've had the fortunate opportunity to be involved in some of the sponsorship availability out at the DNN. But I also think I remember when Russ Jones started to organize the MCF event and the thing, and he came and he visited with us, and we thought, oh my gosh, does this type of sport fit our objectives in the bank and what we do? And I remember Russ talking to us about it and saying, you know, this is a sport that can be a phenomenal way for a kid who's having a tough time to learn self-discipline and to learn and to get mentored from others and all that. And so we said, okay, tell us a little bit more. And then we found out how many of our employees were interested in mixed martial arts and enjoyed watching it and all of that. And so that's an example of a sponsorship we've been involved in that's been hosted at the DNN that maybe at first I didn't think was our like perfect objective as a bank. But when we dug into more of some of the things that are accomplished and what our employees are passionate about, we're excited about it and happy to be part of it.
Yeah, that's a good point that we look at that too and support our employees as well. If you're interested in learning more about our program, you can go to nebraskalandbank.com/giving back and kind of see all of the areas that we give. And we've got a little ticker, which kind of automatically updates all of our volunteer hours each year as they're reported. So today, I think we have 222 or some hours reported so far this year, keeping in mind it's been a little bit of a slow event season with COVID, but so normally we would be much higher than that. But check out that page. It talks about our My Fair Share program, our Nebraska Lane University, and our donation and grill request forms are available there. So just lots of good information about all the ways that we help give back to our community.
Yeah. And Tad, we'd like you to know you and your family have always been folks that we've admired from this perspective and tried to pattern some of our business objectives off the way that you've given back to youth sports. I mean, if you had that hour ticker for volunteer hours for youth sports, it'd be pretty high at this point, I think.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little overwhelming. You know, sometimes there's many nights that I was coming home at 9:30 from refereeing a football game after being on a beer truck since 6:30 in the morning. You know, makes for a long day, but it's all worth it at the end, you know, to you guys have always been one of the ones we also see as one of the biggest support systems in youth sports in the area. Obviously, you know, there's not a whole lot, you know, there's very, very few, but I know that you guys have always been very helpful in anything that we do as far as it, whether it be a basketball or a football programs and wrestling tournaments, right? Like going back to the Russ's show, I remember, you know, probably in those conversations when he was first starting it, you know, the MMA, you know, going back to what he was saying, you know, I think a lot of that comes from wrestling too. You know, North Platte's got a good following behind the wrestling programs, and those kids are, I feel that they're trained well and, you know, mentally prepared, and you got to be pretty mentally prepared if you're going to go into battle. And I think that was the year maybe Russ was running for Senate too. So that was even better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he had all sorts of stuff to talk to us about that year. We're going to have to get Russ into the podcast studio these days to talk about MCF. So that'd be a lot of fun. Well, is it trivia time? Are we to trivia time, Danielle?
Let's bump into trivia.
Trivia.
Okay, Tad. So with each episode, we play a game of trivia. We'll ask you three questions. If you get two of the three questions correct, you will receive $100 or will gift $100 in your name to a charity of your choice. If you get the majority wrong, then the $100 will stay in the pot and our next guest will play for $200. So really, it's a win-win. Either way. Yeah. And I kind of have a hodgepodge of trivia questions for you today. I just picked them out based on what I know about you. So I know that you are a North Platte High School alumni. So this question is based on that fact. What is the name of the North Platte High School newspaper?
The Bulldogger.
Good job.
Now, hang on a second. Yeah. We got to talk about the Bulldogger. Okay. I still read the Bulldogger.
I do too.
We get it here at the bank. I don't know. Somebody best to subscribe to it or something. I know we do a little advertising in it. But you know what? They do a phenomenal job. I mean, do you read it normally?
I do. And I don't know if it's just because I just think it's interesting to keep up with. It is fun to see the articles. And I know some of the kids, obviously, that in the high school. So they really do. They've won awards. I feel like every year they're winning awards.
Yeah. That's if listeners don't get access to the Bulldogger, you need to get the Bulldogger because there's good stuff in there.
And has it always been the Bulldogger? I'm trying to remember if it's had a rebrand or if it's always been the Bulldogger.
Of course, I remember.
It was always the Bulldogger when I was there.
Okay. Okay, this one. This is a former American football quarterback. He's a North Platte High School alumni. He was drafted by the Chicago Bears. Who is he?
Enderly.
Correct.
Correct. I have his, because it was a year after Woodhead, right?
Yeah, I mean, they played together. He might have been 1 year. Was he 1 year younger?
Younger.
1 year younger.
Yeah.
But he had a phenomenal college career at Idaho, right?
Yeah.
And then was drafted by the Chicago Bears. So good job. Yeah. Hey, he's two for two.
Yeah. Okay, final question. This one is NFL. It's a tricky one, which you've already won. So this one's just for fun, really. Which NFL team has never hosted or played in the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. Hosted or played in the Super Bowl. And that's going to be a team, too. Hosted or played in the Super Bowl.
I think I know the answer to this one, but this is interesting. They're kind of, if it's the team I think it is, they're kind of famous for their long-term gloom, I think.
Well, that's got to be the Browns.
I might have given it away.
You gave it away. Correct.
Was it the Browns?
It's the Browns.
Oh, man. Kelly Wiseman's going to be mad.
Okay. So you're three for three. You have $100 to donate to any charity of your choice. And it can be one you're involved with, too. So there's no limitations here. So who's the charity you'd like us to donate $100 to?
I think that the Trails Committee would be a good one. You know, they do a lot of good things. And I think they're under-noticed, you know. They do a lot of good connecting people with good walkways through the community. So that'd be a good one. Yeah.
Thanks, Tad. I don't know if you know this, but I'm the president.
You're the president of it? Oh, wow. So we were just talking about that the other day. So I met with your guys' group.
Maybe Samantha.
Yeah, Samantha. Yeah. So cool.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You guys know what's obviously coming this summer. I am just thrilled about this. And I don't know how exactly this ties into the Trails Committee, but you know, the city's got the project going on at Lakeview between Front and A Street. And my understanding is we're going to see a 10-foot wide sidewalk, which I think will match up to A Street, that's going to come along Lakeview and connect all the way to Front. To me, that's just a fabulous segment.
It's a huge win. I mean, anytime that the city can get involved and help us out with things like that, it's a huge, huge win. And I have a friend who lives out in that area. And so to walk, to get over there, I mean, I've literally just even to get down to Second Street, we've walked along that tight road.
Oh, yeah.
And so just from that experience, I mean, people don't always appreciate those things. And I think that's going to be huge with that area kind of growing and new people moving in.
Yeah, that's coming soon, too, I believe.
Yeah, that's going to be sooner rather than later, is my understanding. And I live in that area. It's going to be awesome. And so do you, Tad. It's going to be perfect. Dog walking route.
I think Jim Hawks was probably sick of me pestering him on it, because every time I'd pull the end of my block, I'd watch eight kids walking down the street, you know, on that Lakeview.
Unsafe.
And now this is going to be, that's definitely good for the school, you know, Eisenhower. Absolutely. In that area. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Are there a couple, are there any other segments being done this year on the trails?
Yeah, well, we're working on the West State Farm Connection. So we're currently in the fundraising stage for that, but we're really close. I mean, we're probably 75% to our goal. And so I guess this episode will launch, I think, next Monday. So right in time for North Platte Giving Day. And I know the DNN has a foundation that is accepting gifts, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
For that too. So definitely hop on and look to see what organizations you can support. But yeah, we're hoping to create a connection on State Farm that would connect the trail from the extension, the UNL extension area, to the Buffalo Bill, South Buffalo Bill trail. And there was a fatality on that stretch of road several years ago. So it's highly utilized. It will connect the Indian Hill subdivision to town. It'll provide a lot of these triathletes and runners with a lot more extended mileage. And so that's kind of where our focus is at this time.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Well, one last question. Where's the name DNN come from? What does it mean?
So there is a broadcaster that's supposedly or worked for one of the area radio stations back in the 70s and 80s, and he'd cover all the Mid-Plains games. And my dad got to know him real well, but he was a broadcaster, Dean Natale. And he ended up going and working for ESPN in out of Cincinnati. And many years later, but that was, yeah, I think that was a tribute from my father to him. You know, we get that question all the time. You know, I think there was originally going to be a different name or two names, but the Natale's allowed us to utilize his name, you know, but he was a broadcaster for, I believe he went to work for ESPN out of Cincinnati, but he must have done a good job. I think my dad looked up to him quite a bit in order to name a facility that he was, awesome. You know, it's a name that sticks with us and it's kind of seems at home with us or at bay anyways. So I don't think we'll see a name change anytime in the near future.
Well, thanks for coming in today and thank you for everything you and your family and all the history of the things that you guys have done for the youth in North Platte.
Yeah.
Thanks, Todd.
I appreciate you guys too.
Well, today's episode is brought to you by Nebraskaland National Bank. We are member FDIC and equal housing lender. Learn more about our podcast at nebraskalandbank.com/podcast. And if you enjoyed the episode, subscribe to the show, leave us a review, and find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening to the Nebraskaland Bank podcast. Community-minded, every voice, every topic, every time.